abundance.
Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today, I'm going to talk about humility and obedience. I've got a couple of stories to tell connected to that. Boys, stories about humility are never fun to tell. But you got to do what you got to do. So, guys, I'm going to just kind of be transparent out there and just share a couple of humbling stories, as well as stories of obedience and how the Lord is calling us to be his witnesses in the world today. And that'll be kind of fun. All this and more.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, I love you and I thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of humility. Lord, for the virtues that you pour into our lives, that you give us an opportunity to develop. Even, Lord, when it's hard, to live those graces, to receive those gifts. But Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Jesus, and I just ask that you would give us some grace, give us some mercy to be able to know you and love you and serve you, Lord our God. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me. So pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor, right? God lifts up the lowly, but those who raise themselves on high, he brings down, right? God exalts the humble and humbles the exalted. We know that. We've heard that. The problem is we don't want that. Well, I don't want that. I'm going to guess it's not easy for you to want that. And you know what? That's part of dying to self. Part of dying to self is we just don't always like dying to ourselves. And so, as you know, humility is considered the mother of the virtues, right? It's considered the mother of the virtues, so that what it means, it generates other virtues. When you're humble, other gifts and graces can grow and flow in your life. The opposite of humility, as you know, is pride. And so when we're proud, what happens to our lives? When we're proud, we end up in a circumstance where we are stubborn, where we cling to our own positions. That's what I tend to focus on. There was a story that I didn't tell from yesterday. When I was talking about Brian O'Rourke and how he strived to live this godly ideal, this heroic ideal in his life. And one of the areas where we had a, I don't know if I want to say the word conflict. We had a not easy relationship was around the reality of living out that ideal. And what I found was we both wanted the same thing. It was a matter of how do we get there? Like, how do we arrive at that same thing? And I think that one of the challenges that came was it's not just about knowing the goal. It's knowing the right way to get to the goal, right? That's what prudence is, right? So prudence as a virtue is not only knowing the good that's at stake in the moment, but also the right means of accomplishing it. The good that's at stake in the moment and the right means of accomplishing it. Well, this brings me to my first story of humility. It just happened yesterday. There is a rental home that Kerry and I have, and it's got a bunch of college students in it. And the girls needed the front door handle, the door handle and the bolt. They needed them replaced. And so I'm like, I got this. I can change a doorknob, right? That a doorknob and a bolt, right? This is Tom Curran level capability. I got this. So went to Home Depot, picked out standard doorknob and bolt. Got out there, deadbolt. I got out there and I took off the old deadbolt. I put on the new deadbolt. And when I slid in the mechanism that would function as the inner mechanism that would slide the bolt in, I realized something. It wasn't the right size. That the inner machinery of the deadbolt that I had removed was longer. It was an inch and a half, probably, or 2 inches longer than the inner machinery of the deadbolt that I had purchased. And I'm like, oh, this is so frustrating. This is like, why would they do this? Well, I thought I bought the standard, doorknob and deadbolt. So I packaged it back up, drove back over to Home Depot, went in customer service, and they said, was there anything wrong with this? You just bought it 10 minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, it's not the right size. And I brought the one with me that I had just as a way of like proving that, that look, here's the right size. And then here's the wrong size one that you sold me. So I ended up going back to the aisle, and I was like, this time I'm going to get someone to help me. I'm going to get a Home Depot person. So I waited and they called someone to help me. And sure enough, I ended up getting someone to come over, and I'm like, hey, here's the long one. And I thought I was buying a standard one. And he says, where was it? So here, it was this one over here. So he took it, he opened it up, he took out the mechanism, and I said, yeah, you see, look, it's much shorter. And then he said, oh, well, you just turn this right here. It just turns along this groove, and it extends the inner bolt mechanism to the other size. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm thinking, I was so humiliated. That was so humbling that I didn't know that simple thing. And the guy, he was a young guy. He must have been 20 years old. He did not crack a smile once. God bless him. You know, here I am, this old man, and I'm, you know, huffing and puffing. It's not the right size. And he says, well, look, you just kind of spin it like this. And he did not smile. In fact, he covered for me. He said, you know, he said, it's those darn directions. They don't tell you these things. They don't explain it to you that all you have to do is you just turn it like this. And when I saw it, I was thinking, oh, this is so obvious. This is very humbling. And so I thanked him. I actually thanked him for not like embarrassing me. Like not, you know, smirking or like smiling or saying something that was, you know, condescending. Kind of unlike me. So I mean it this way. I mean, when I, like, for instance, when Brian and I would disagree on the right way to accomplish the same ideal that we were striving for, I could come across as a bit condescending and arrogant. That's the opposite of pride. I'm sorry, that's the opposite of humility. That doesn't help me in my spiritual life if I have a stubbornness, a refusal to be humbled, to accept humiliation. It is not, there is something in me that has this tendency towards pride. And it's ugly and it's broken. It's not godly. And the Lord, in his mercy, in his tender mercy, brings me into circumstances and situations where I get the opportunity to choose to allow something humbling to happen, to allow my own humiliation, but I can also choose to humble myself. It is not an easy thing, brothers and sisters. I share this with you because I'm going to bet that there will be among us listening, you will have opportunities today that show up in your today to be humbled. Where the Lord is saying, I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to allow you to choose a position that is humbling and to do so with grace. And I tell you, it might just be a furnace. It can be like a furnace where the Lord is really and truly desiring to purify us, to purify our hearts, to purify our minds. And that is just one of the more important ways that the Lord is trying to establish this foundation in our lives. St. Augustine, he said that humility is the foundation of all other virtues. Hence, in the soul in which this virtue does not exist, there cannot be any other virtue except in mere appearance. And it's like, okay, so the Lord loves me enough. He loves me enough to put me in situations that are just going to be humbling. All right, so I want to tell you one other one before I give you some more quotes on humility. This one happened last night. So I've been playing in this summer league with my daughter, Annalise. It's the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame Knights. We're playing in the summer league, and it's developmental. And it was our last week, and we were playing our toughest opponents. In the first 3 weeks, we were in every single game. Really, if we were trying to win, we would have won every single game, honestly. But we ended up, you know, losing a couple of games because we were really trying to develop our players. And so it wasn't the primary goal wasn't the best chance to win, but it was, yeah, strive to win, but also give everyone a chance to play and really work on developing them, right? Well, this last night, the first game, we just got demolished. We could have played our best players the whole time and said, we're only going to try to win. And we still lost by 50 points. It was really hard. And what made it difficult was the attitudes of the girls on the winning team. That there was a type of like celebrating their superiority rather than like just authentically like trying to play their best. There was an attitude that was glib, an attitude that was kind of condescending, right? And that made it harder. It was hard for me to lose. It was hard to lose like that. And we wanted to continue to lift up the girls as they were just brutally being beaten, and they played their hardest. And that just shows what it's like to be a young team. In any case, after the game, I had a couple of chances to talk to the girls on the other team and the coach. And it was, in my mind, I had this whole conversation where I was going to say a gotcha kind of statement about our girls versus their girls in terms of attitude and spirit and godly character. And I thought, none of these statements in my mind, they all sounded good in my mind. But as I like started to step back and look at them, I'm like, you know, a godly person wouldn't say that. A humble person wouldn't say that. What would a humble person do? A humble person would very simply congratulate them on a job well done. And so I did twice with different girls, even one of the girls' parents, and with the coach, just said, "Boy, you guys played a really good game. What a great team you have. Boy, you played so well, young lady. And the way you shot those threes with a smile on your face." I said, "Wow, well done. You guys just did a really, I wish we could have played better and made it a better game for you." And they just took it all in and said nothing in return, which made it even harder. Here I was being humble and affirming of them. And you know what they didn't do? They didn't like applaud me for my humility. They didn't say anything kind about my players. And that made it worse. But it made it like the Lord was saying, "Here's the cherry on top that I'm giving you to be humble. Is I'm going to give you another chance in the midst of your being humble to be humble again." Okay. I know these things can sound silly. These things can sound like small or petty. And I just want you to hear this because the Lord really does bless us with opportunities day to day to be humble. And I hope and pray that you'll embrace them as they come. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. And so I said this program is about humility and it's also about obedience. And those two really do go hand in hand. And if you can sense why, it's not that complicated to sense why, but let's map it out. Let's map out in a very simple way the link between being humble and being obedient. If you remember what I was sharing, one of the concepts I was sharing was that humility is about us being willing to learn, being open, not being stubborn and refusing. Well, what is obedience? Obedience is the unwillingness to listen, the unwillingness to listen in terms of action, taking action, the unwillingness to follow. So if you can see, it's like humility and obedience are like two sides of a coin. On the one hand, if I'm open and if I'm willing to stay low, if I'm willing to not exalt myself, but if I'm willing to be in that humble position, then I'm going to naturally be disposed to be open or docile to others, available to others, and well, even more importantly, available to the Lord. And available to what specifically? Well, the availability to listen, the willingness to be led, the willingness to obey. And so obedience is what? If the Lord is asking me to do something, I'm going to do it. And obedience at the level of our Catholic Christian faith, let's hear it out loud. Obedience is I don't just begrudgingly say, "Okay, Lord, if you really want me to do this, I will do it." I mean, that's like let's call that just the basic level of obedience, the raw factual acceptance that this is God's will and I'll do it. But something more, something deeper, something better, and that more, something deeper, something better is saying yes in advance to whatever the Lord asks. obedience is this willingness, this docility, this willingness to say, Lord, I've already given you a yes. Whatever you ask of me, I want you to know that my answer is yes. And I don't even know what it's going to be, but it's here I am, Lord. In fact, it's really so beautifully summed up in the attitude of Abraham in Genesis, I think it's 21, where he's called to sacrifice Isaac. And the Lord calls out to Abraham, 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 and he says one word that captures the spirit of Catholic Christian obedience, Christ-like obedience that the Lord's asking for us. And that one word that Abraham says is, when the Lord calls his name, is ready. He says, ready. And so in saying ready, he doesn't even know what he's being asked to be ready for. But what he knows is that the Lord is asking something of him personally. And so he knows that he doesn't have a choice. His choice is simply to obey. Lord, if this is what you would have me do, I say yes in advance. Yes, Lord, let's go. And so saying ready means that willingness to do whatever the Lord's asking. So what happened? Okay, so what happened was on Saturday, I was out looking at houses for a client. And so we showed up at a house and we were waiting outside. And we were, as we were waiting outside, to get permission to go into the house. I can't like enter a house without permission from the agent who is listing the house for sale. And so we were nearby. So I had put in a phone call, texted, put in the request through the app, like, give us permission to view the house. It was, let's just drive over there. I'm sure he'll respond by the time we get there. He didn't. And so we were waiting outside. And we were waiting outside. What ended up happening was there was a neighbor that was standing in his driveway. And he was waiting for someone to show up. And at the same time as we pulled up, there was a couple that were walking. They were walking on the road. And so we ended up pulling in the driveway. That couple walked by the road. They saw the guy standing in the driveway and they just started to chat. The guy, probably 40 years old, less, he was waiting in the driveway and he started talking to this older couple. And I overheard them and I just came over and I just said, what a great way to get a sense of the neighborhood by talking to the people who are walking the neighborhood and who live next door. This would be a very valuable intelligence gathering, right? Oh yeah, and being friendly too. So I just started talking to these three people and the couple that I was with, that were looking at the house with me, the couple that was walking down the street said, hey, do we know you? You look familiar to us. And then they said, St. Mary's. That's Father Lewis's parish, St. Mary's. And they said, yeah, we go to St. Mary's. Now, for some reason, they didn't recognize me from St. Mary's, but they recognized the couple I was with. And they ended up saying, oh, we're in the choir. And we sit behind you. And chatted with them for a bit. And then as that was going on, we ended up talking about being Catholic. And so I said to the guy, I said, hey, I said, are you Catholic? Or do you go to a church? And he said, well, I was brought up Catholic. And okay, now when someone says I was brought up Catholic, like what's the next thing to say, right? Oh, does that mean that you're not practicing right now? And then he said, he was very, you know what he was? He was really humble. He said, well, you know, I've been thinking about that recently. I've been thinking about getting reconnected to the church. And he says, where's St. Mary's? And we told him it was just a handful of blocks away. And he says, oh, okay, yeah. And then I said to him, okay, now here's where humility and obedience come in. Like, what do you do at that point? You've told him that you're Catholic. You've told him about St. Mary's. You've heard that he has been interested in reconnecting to his Catholic faith. What do you do beyond what you've already done? What next is there to do? Well, I went in for the kill. I went right on in. I said, hey, I walked up to him, put out my hand. I said, my name's Tom. Hey, what's your name? Your name's Josh. Great name, Joshua, Jesus. Great name, Josh. And I said, so you mentioned that you were interested in reconnecting to your Catholic faith. He said, yeah, I've just been thinking about this recently. And I said, well, there's a great priest at that parish. His name's Father Lewis. And then the couple on the street started to, they started to get in on it. They're like, oh yeah, he's a wonderful priest. And he even talked about the fact that we're all supposed to be inviting our neighbors in the parish to come to the parish. And so they're like, yeah. And so I said to him, I said, hey, would it be okay with you if I took your number? And I said, that I would connect you to Father Lewis and I would pass on your name and address and phone number to Father Lewis. He said, absolutely, take it down. So I wrote down Josh's number and I forwarded it all on to Father Lewis. I said, Father Lewis, hey, here you go. Here's a parishioner. He is interested in reconnecting with the faith. You want us to evangelize. Here we go. And what was really beautiful about all of this was that the couples, the other two couples, together with me, were a witness together just by the way that we were talking and sharing and the way that we were present together. It was very beautiful, right? It was very positive. It was very easy and natural and friendly. And yet, at some point, brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to knock a little bit more on that door, to move people towards a decision. He was humble enough to express the fact that he was searching. He was humble enough to express that he was open. And then now it's up to us, brothers and sisters, it's up to us to step through that door and say, all right, what further action can I take to help you get connected to the local church? And, you know, maybe you don't have Father Lewis's, your priest's phone number, but maybe you could say, hey, there's a great Mass at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Would it be okay if I gave you a call? Maybe we could go together and I'd be happy to introduce you to some people. Or there's going to be this wonderful event happening at the parish that's coming up. And you know what? Why don't I just stop by and drop off some materials? Or what would be the next step for you? Is there any particular reason why you're drawn back right now where the parish could be a blessing to you? You know, it might be blessing a marriage. It might be baptizing a child. It might be, going to confession, right? Who knows? And you don't have to know all those details. But if you open the door and say, look, I would be thrilled to be the person that helps accompany you, that helps you get to that next step in your own journey of faith. That's important to me. You're important to me. And I'd love to be able to do that. It would be a privilege to be able to do that. So let me ask you, brothers and sisters, in all humility, how often does that type of conversation happen in our Catholic world, in your Catholic world? How quick are we to be able to share things about our own journey of faith? And so I just share that with you just to say that you can be a great blessing to others if you're just open to it. All right, back in a minute.
Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Karn. It's great to be with you today. So in reflecting on humility and obedience, I want to show how they come together in relationship to another virtue. And I've already mentioned that virtue out loud. It's the virtue of love. And it's also connected to the work of evangelizing. So I just had shared with you a story about how willing are you to approach someone and go beyond like uncomfortable bridges to open up the conversation about the Catholic Church, about their person, about the person's faith, or about Jesus. And the one of the simple and really, I think, important things to keep in mind is a specific idea. And the idea is, when you are in love or when you are deeply passionate about something, you're quick to talk about it. It's easy to bring it up. It's kind of a no-brainer, right? And so when you think about the idea of seeing a couple that just got engaged, or if a couple just had a child, right? Or there was somebody, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was really excited because he was about to be a grandfather again. And he was had his phone in his hand, and he was waiting that his daughter was about to give birth, and she was in the hospital, and she was in labor, and it's like just waiting. And then when I saw him again the next day, he proudly took out his phone and showed a picture of his latest, newest grandchild wrapped in blankets at, you know, in the hospital shortly after the grandchild was born. And you didn't have to bring up the topic. He wasn't hesitant. He took the initiative. He's like, hey, everyone, before we go any further, I just got to show you. Take a look at this. And he was so excited. You've probably heard those type of analogies before when it comes to our life of faith. And I think that one of the real challenges is that we maybe don't have that same kind of quick, easy, passionate love for Jesus that takes the form. I'm not saying you don't love Jesus. I'm not saying you don't love the Lord. But I am saying that if we had a deep, enthusiastic love for the Lord, and not just our love for Jesus, but we're convinced about his love for us, and not just for me, but for you too. And if you had a burning need in a deep, challenging circumstance, then you would want that person to know there is somebody who passionately cares about your situation. There's somebody who knows what you're going through, and he longs to get involved. It's Jesus. It's the Lord. And we hold back. And I'm just reminded of this quote from St. Augustine when he talked about a sick father who was on the verge of death, and the doctor comes out of the room and says to the kids, he is on the verge of death. If he can get through the night, he'll survive. And the challenge is he's extremely tired and he will want to fall asleep. However, if he falls asleep, he'll die. It's your job to keep him awake, to get him to stay awake, to be able to make it through the night. And he will not want that. He will, everything inside of him will be wanting to fall asleep. And it's your job to keep him awake. And the ending of this analogy in Augustine is that he says, and this is all a paraphrase, by the way, I'm not quoting him, but the ending of that analogy is that Augustine says, if the children love him, if you as his child loves your father, you will do it. You will do what you need to do to keep your father awake. If you love him, you will do it. And if you do not do it, you too are asleep. If you love him, you will do it. And if you do not do it, you too are asleep. So I think it's, well, at least somewhat clear what Augustine is saying by this very strong analogy. It's that the idea of a sense of being asleep versus being awake. And being awake means having a type of love that's willing to even make someone uncomfortable. A type of love that is willing to, if you will, lovingly badger someone. And I'm not saying you should badger anybody, but you're following Augustine's analogy that out of love for someone, you're going to bring to them a message or relate to them in a way that might in fact be uncomfortable, but it won't allow them to literally fall asleep into a spiritual death that is associated with sin. And it's something that I know that Carrie and I have used as a way of talking about loving well our kids, that we love them enough to not let them get away with things that we know are not good for them. I love you enough not to let you get away with something that I know is not good for you. And so the idea of lovingly introducing into your kids' lives or into someone's life something that's just not that comfortable, but is preferable to allowing them to stay in sin, stay in a type of spiritual darkness, is a form of love. It's a form of a compassion, a sense of longing for them to come to access the good things that God has for them. So I've been involved in the work of evangelizing, the work of proclaiming the gospel, and raising up Catholics in parishes and the dioceses and larger settings around the world, and at different ages and, you know, different stages in my own work in the church. But I can honestly say in the 35 years now that I've been working actively for the church, or in the Catholic Church, that there hasn't been really that much of a change in the let's call it the courage to evangelize, the zeal to evangelize, the promotion of the work of evangelizing. And by evangelizing, I mean proclaiming the gospel. I mean announcing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of not just the world, but of your world. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, the one who sets free those who are bound up, not just in all of human history and all human beings and some, let's call it some way that is allows people to stay at a distance and a distance from their own lives, but rather that Jesus Christ wants to unbind and set you free from the damaging aspect of things that are affecting your life, your relationships, your home, your marriage. And it's being able and willing to allow Jesus to be in the front of your life, in the dimension of your life that faces forward, that is something that is, let's say it's really crucial. So just here, real examples from yesterday. So from yesterday, I was driving along, and I was talking to Carrie, and Carrie was saying, "I don't know what's happened, but I've just had this just kind of sickness land on me, this flu and really weird symptoms, and it's very painful, and I don't know what's going on, but it just landed on me." And as she was telling me this, I got a call from my daughter, Mary Grace, who is in Europe. She finished up a program at in Austria, at Franciscan University, one of their summer programs, and is now in northern Italy, where my mom was born, and is just taking a little bit of vacation and for a handful of days. And so she called me, and it was like the middle of the night there. And I'm like, I better get the phone, Carrie. She's calling me from Italy in the middle of the night. at a place where she just landed. And so she called me, and she had this sort of distressing experience in the middle of the night. And it was nothing dangerous, but it was distressing to her. And she called to say, would you pray for me right now? Would you pray for me right now? And okay, fathers, what would happen in your life if your daughter were to come to you and say, or your son, and say, Dad, would you pray for me right now? And here's my daughter looking to me for spiritual protection, spiritual provision, spiritual guidance that can minister to her at her point of need halfway across the globe. So of course I did. I prayed in a way that acknowledged the authority of Jesus Christ over anything happening in her life and asked that the Lord Jesus would intervene and protect her and bless her and grant her peace. And I also prayed as a father with the authority that Christ has given me over my daughter's life. And I prayed for her to experience that sense of peace and freedom, that sense of safety. And then she asked, would you pray for the room that I'm in? And I don't know if you've ever had that experience where, especially if you like go to a hotel or again, a space that's not yours. And I like to say, I mean, I would say hotel rooms. I tend to bring my Epiphany holy water with me when I travel, that super special holy water. I bring the Epiphany holy water because I'm specifically wanting to have a sense of spiritual protection and blessing over any space where I'm going to be sleeping. And so my daughter had that sensitivity. And you could sometimes tell that something's off in a room. Do you ever have that sense? Like spiritually, something is just like, something seems off. So she asked if I would pray for her room. And so I did. Same thing. I just prayed for that she would be blessed and protected in the room, and that anything that was, any sins that may have been committed in that room, any evil that had occurred would be bound up and cast away, and there'd be no remnants of it, and that the angels would come and minister and provide a hedge of protection, and the blood of Christ would flow, right? Those types of things. Just making those types of things to be natural and something that could flow from someone. I really want to encourage you to have that at your disposal. That's the gospel come alive. That's good news come alive. That's me being a witness to the living Lord Jesus Christ, who sees and cares about and is involved in your life. And somehow when your point of need gets brought to me, I can be someone who brings that sense of being a conduit where the Lord Jesus is going to minister to you. And I'm going to pray for that, pray for his ministry in your regard, and that the Lord honors that. He establishes relationships precisely with that type of benefit to happen. And I won't go into all the details, but what happened with regards to that daughter of mine, I got a call earlier in the day from another daughter of mine. And she is out of the house as well. And she said, would you pray for me for what I'm going through right now? And so I prayed for her, for blessings upon her, that she would be at peace and that the Lord would be with her in the midst of the circumstances that she was facing. And then when I got home and was with Carrie, same thing. So I said to her, I said, I think that I'm sensing that this could be some type of spiritual attack. The fact that there were several members of my family that all had these sort of out of the ordinary, out of left field type of weird kind of occurrences that they associated with something spiritual. They had reached out to me to ask for prayer, and I prayed for each of them in their circumstances. I said, Carrie, I think that it's possible anyways that your circumstances might also have that spiritual source. So pray for her. All right, I'm up against a break. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Today I'm talking about humility and obedience, and I'm connecting them right now to love. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And John himself, later in his first letter, 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll obey. And for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, that we do what he asks. And we do so out of love, not just out of raw conformity, but out of a desire to please the one that we love. It would seem to me that we would grow in humility and we would grow in obedience because we're growing in love. And we grow in humility because the more that it becomes known to us, the more that we encounter the one who is loving us, the one who created us, the one who is faithful to us, the one who stands with us, stands by us in all of our need, the one who not only created us, but never forsake us, right? Never gave up on us, but sent Jesus to live among us the perfect life, even after we had fallen short. And he died the death that we deserved. He experienced the full consequences of the sins that we committed. He took our place. He took your place. And the more that we come to know that, the more that we come to experience that in a personal way, the more that we will have a sense of zeal, a sense of urgency, a sense of longing to love him in return and to make that love known to others. So now I say that because I do believe that there is a beautiful devotion that is emerging that, I don't know, maybe it's being recovered. And it's the devotion to the holy face of Jesus. And the devotion to the holy face of Jesus is one where you gaze upon the image of Christ in his passion, in the midst of his passion. The tradition is connected back to the veil of Veronica. And by gazing on the imprint of the face of Christ in that veil of Veronica, there is a sense of you are drawing close to Jesus. In the midst of his passion, you're looking upon you're coming into contact in a mysterious way with the face of Christ as he's undergoing a passion for you. Now, next Wednesday, on July the 3rd, I'm going to air an interview with Father Lawrence Carney. Father Carney is a priest that I interviewed, four years ago, when he had written a book about evangelizing, about proclaiming Christ. And he had used some very fascinating ways of doing it, carrying a cross around town, sitting on a park bench dressed in his priestly vestments, and people started coming and lining up to go to confession and have spiritual direction with him, that sort of thing. Well, he has felt let's call it a divine tap on the shoulder to rekindle, to recover, and to present anew this devotion to the holy face of Jesus. And so I'm very much looking forward to that interview, in part because it'll add a whole other layer in a whole bunch of other insights into this theme that I'm unfolding right now, which is out of loving obedience and out of the humility that flows from the encounter with the love that with the God who loves us so much, who is awesome, infinite, eternal, that God loves us, the creatures who have come from nothing and who the most prominent thing that we've ever done is failed the Lord. That somehow that God loves us and his greatness only manifests our littleness. And yet we can love him in return. And with that humility and with that obedience, we want to make his love known. That the personalization of that, the the passionate sense of saying, I want to talk about, I want to proclaim, I want to announce, I'm looking for opportunities to share about my loving Lord Jesus and the love he has for you, that'll grow through a devotion like the devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. So tune in next Wednesday for the interview with Father Lawrence Kearney. Oh, and I'll mention it now, but he is going to actually be coming out to Northern Idaho in September on the 20th and 21st to lead a retreat, two different evenings, with to introduce and to help develop and foster this sense of devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. So tune in for that. That's something to look forward to. So I just put that out there for right now. As we're getting close to the end of the program, I just have a handful of minutes left. My encouragement to you is this. If some of the things that I've shared today about having the sense of the personal knowledge of the living Lord loving me in a way that's going to give rise to humility and obedience, if that's something that is like, I'm not getting it. I'm not tapping into it, maybe to the degree that I'm not. I think there's a degree in which I'm asleep, that Augustine is saying I'm asleep. Now, the truth is, guess what? We're all asleep to some degree. And we can pray that the Lord would wake us up. And so that's going to be my encouragement. In fact, just like I felt called to pray, or I was invited to pray several times just yesterday, by being available in the moment, I'm feeling that call right now. I'm feeling that call to take these moments that we have together in finishing this program, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you for this stirring of humility, this stirring of obedience, and that it'll be traced back to the encounter with the living Lord and his passionate love for you, and that would stir within you these gifts and graces so that you would share him willingly and quickly with humility and out of obedience. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' holy name. And I do so out of a sense of obedience, feeling prompted to approach you, Father, and to ask, Father, that your Son would stir the gift and grace, the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a whole new way, at a whole new dimension, a whole new level. Father, we fall short of that heavenly fire that Jesus, that you said you long to cast fire upon this earth, and what a desire, what a constraint you feel until it's set ablaze. Lord, I pray that the fire of your love, the Holy Spirit, would be stirred into flame in our lives at a new dimension, a new depth, a new level. For Lord, we fall short. We do fall asleep. We do settle for less in our own sharing of the gospel, in our own proclaiming of you, Jesus. And we are tired of that. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening right now who might feel groggy, who feel like they're lagging behind or are longing for more of that fire of your love. I pray for them, Lord, in a special way that they would sense and know your love at a new depth, a new dimension, a new level, that it would refresh them, it would bless them, not only with peace, but with a sense of vigor, with a sense of deep passion. Lord, we do love you, and we long to love you more. Lord, we long to love you more. And so, Lord, we do ask for graces today, and I pray that the Spirit of Pentecost, Holy Spirit of Pentecost, be released within us in new ways. Jesus, just release the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives in a new way, that we would experience a new sense of dynamism in our sharing of you. And Lord, give us opportunities today, a fresh new start, a new fresh opportunity today, Lord, to truly honor you in all the things, Lord, that matter to you, not the things that matter to us, but Lord, in the things that matter to you. And Lord, when those opportunities come, give us the insight to know and to recognize them, and give us the sensitivity to make the right response quickly and completely. And Lord, I ask that you also give us just a little glimpse of the fruit that comes from doing that, that we'd feel encouraged to want to do it more. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for walking with me through this program, just sharing with you some thoughts and insights, some recent stories about humility and about obedience. Thank you so much. I pray God's blessings on your day. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.